So I mentioned a little bit ago that I had a little bug this week, and it was actually on Wednesday that I contacted my really good friend, Liz Carafa, who's a pastor and was ordained last summer, I believe, with the Free Methodist Church, and was like, I don't think I can preach this week. Well, I didn't. I probably could have preached, but I wouldn't have had anything to say except talk about all my symptoms, which are quite a collection of weird symptoms. And we could have, you know, played pin the diagnosis on the pastor or something. But decided to scrap that. Mm-hmm. And Liz graciously prayed about it, mm-hmm. talked to her husband, and said that she would indeed come and share God's word with us. I sent her the scripture reading that we had from this week and said, you know, it's probably not something that you've preached on, but do you have time to put it together? And she chose some scripture and said, something's stirring. God is stirring something. So I'm really excited about that. God is so cool. Isn't he the way he works? So up on the screen right now, you will see this pamphlet that says 5-day Bible reading program. This is what we're doing this year at New Vision, is we're reading through the Bible, the entire Bible, between January 1st, December 31st. And each week we read, and we have 5 days worth of reading, and then we have 2 days off to catch up or read something else or read some more. But we are now going into week six. We're going into week six. And these pamphlets, we ran out last week, but there's more of them this week. So if you do not have one, or if you need one for different places in your life, like in your car and in your desk at work and in your home and your bathroom, I don't know. Anyway, if you need some reading material in various places in your house, there is not any shortage of these pamphlets. So go ahead and feel free to take another one. What we're doing is reading through the week's scripture, and then on that following Saturday at the end of the week, the sermon is about one portion of the scripture we read. And it's been a fun challenge for me to just see what God is going to speak and what he wants to pick out of that particular for one message out of what we've read. We have also been praying a prayer every week. And I have said we're going to pray this every week as we go through the year. And it's a prayer of commitment. And I've called it a dangerous prayer before because dangerous prayers are prayers we know Jesus will answer. We pray things, as he says, in his name, and he will answer those to bring glory to the Father. So indeed, this prayer is one of those prayers that asks him to give us all he has for us. We have no doubt in the world that Jesus wants to do just that, give us all he has for us. And we also recognize that he illuminates things within us through his Holy Spirit. And when we become followers of Jesus, his Holy Spirit resides within us. And so we are illuminated from within by his Holy Spirit. And so together, we're praying this prayer every week as we go through the year. We're just kind of renewing our commitment. And it's an individual choice whether we want to pray this prayer this week or not. You know, a lot of times we can pray one prayer and feel like, well, that does it. It's done for good. But, you know, life happens. And sometimes our feelings change. And sometimes we ebb and flow a little bit. And I think it's good to remember that we are renewing this every week because we're committed to this as a church family, individually and corporately. So I want you to just take a moment and read this prayer through quietly on your own. And when you're ready, if you're ready, when you're ready, go ahead and stand and we will pray it in unison. Reminding you again that when we pray in Jesus' name, we're coming in agreement with what Jesus has to say. And also that amen is a word that was prayed by the early desert mothers and fathers in the 4th century in particular. They added that as kind of a punctuation to their group meetings. That when something was said that they agreed with, they shouted amen. Or a prayer was prayed, they shouted amen. And so we're taking that practice And we're putting it into our practice of coming into agreement. So we try to really hit the amen with a lot of energy, hoping that the fire department will start hearing it. And before long, because this place is going to fill up with more and more people as we ask Jesus for all he has to give us, there will be more people coming. And soon this sound's going to reverberate past this particular neighborhood and reach some of the townhouses that aren't too far away. So we're just hitting that amen with all of the gusto that we have, okay? Ready? Mm-hmm. Let's do it. God, I want all that you have for me, and I believe it will be revealed through your word. Illuminate your word in my life this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen! All right, praise God. Go ahead and have a seat. I'm going to invite Pastor Liz to come up now and share with us from the Word.
Thank you, Carlene. Liz. Thank you so much, Carlene. I'm so honored to be here. Just privileged to join with you already this evening, just getting to see some of your faces and chat with a few of you. I feel so welcomed and invited in. So thank you so much for your warmth. Carlene mentioned I was just recently ordained this last year in the Free Methodist Church. I have a husband and two kids, 7 and 4, who are the light of my life. We live in Dundee, Oregon, just a stone's throw away, and go to Northside in Newburgh. I'm the prayer director there. And so I'm somebody who's really passionate about authenticity. You'll get to hear a little bit of my story tonight, and I'm just looking forward to exploring the scripture with you today that we've read this last week, and I believe we're going to find a hidden gem together. So let's go ahead and pray. God, we're just grateful for what you have in store for us. I just pray that only your word would come from my mouth, that anything that's not breathed by you would just fall away, that we would just take these few minutes together and just lean in to what you have for us today. We just trust you, and we know that you want to work in power in our lives. So go before us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to spend some time in Ephesians today, on Ephesians 3. My sermon is titled Beyond All We Can Ask, Think, and Imagine, and that comes from Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. You can look it up in your Bible, but I'll also have it on the screen. And it starts by saying, when I think of all this, and this is Paul speaking to the Ephesians. He had just shared that he had been set up to share the gospel with the Gentiles, that there was this hidden mystery that God wasn't just out for the Jews, that he was out for all of us, from the Gentiles. And so he's privileged to share the gospel with the Gentiles. So he says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we may ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And as we just did, amen! Wow, I love that passage. It's such a powerful passage. It's like one of those, like, pump you up, like, legacy, all the power of God. It's just so exciting. I don't know about you, kind of warm, fuzzy feeling passage. You know, it's one of those passages. Sometimes, you know, you get a word for somebody and you look through it and you're like, oh, I hope this is a good one. And you're like, oh, okay. This would be like such a great encouraging passage to give to people, you know, like graduations or special ceremonies or, you know, a milestone marker. It's just one of those hoorah passages. It sometimes feels a little bit like, you know, rainbows and butterflies and kittens of just all these great, glorious, wonderful things. And there's truth to that. Like, God's love is so extravagant. It is beyond all we can ask, think, or imagine. You know, there's so many stories we have in the Bible of, you know, Moses and the Israelites coming to the Red Sea, and God parts the Red Sea in this extravagant display. Or, you know, the widow who is down to nothing, and all she has is a little bit of oil, and her oil multiplies and fills hundreds of jars. Or Jesus, who comes and he turns water into wine, and it's not just okay wine, it's the best wine that it is. You know, and Jesus, he raises Lazarus from the dead. So we have these great stories of God's power and his might and just his love working. You know, and then we have current stories today. You have, you know, modern day miracles of people getting free from cancer and healed miraculously. Or I had a friend up in Alaska. I grew up in Alaska, and he, as a firefighter, he fell 100 feet from a ladder, and he should have died, and he miraculously lived and is now thriving and well today. Or I'm not going to go into my story of how we got our house, but our house is a miracle story. So we have these like really great warm fuzzy. I love sharing the story of my house. These fuzzy stories that make us feel like, yeah, this is what it means to be a Christian. And you know, and then we also have like the spiritual truths of like that our wrongdoings, everything that is yuck about us, Jesus took it and he took it on the cross and he exchanged that for his glory and his goodness. I mean, it's amazing. Or that we are literally new creations in God. It's astounding that the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us. Like, what? We get it. This is extravagance. This is mighty. And yet, how many of you, as we're reading this passage and I'm sharing all the good, wonderful, hopeful, amazing things, have a yeah, but in your mind? Of the times where you have memories or experiences or stories where it was not beyond all you could ask, think, or imagine. In fact, it fell far short. You know, we have the loss of a loved one or an estranged relationship with a child. Or we have someone who didn't beat cancer and died that we dearly loved and prayed and hoped for their healing. Or we have all the wars that are going around in the earth right now. You know, we have human trafficking. There's polarization in our country right now. And so there's this, we have all these experiences that kind of put that passage to the test of beyond all we can ask, think, or imagine. It kind of gets some tension and some rockiness a little bit. And so we come up with platitudes or little sayings or little excuses to kind of dance around the discomfort of where does our pain and our loss and our suffering fit in the midst of all this greatness, the love of God that's so high and deep and wide, and the power and all this beyond we can ask and imagine. Where do we fit in that tension? Because it sounds like a lot of times that there's just this one side of the story that's the warm, happy fuzzies. And I have a really good imagination. You know, I've struggled with this passage, and I'm like, I can imagine and I can think a lot of things. My husband and I, we want to give houses away someday. I want to see the dignity of every human person, you know, actualized. I want to pray for cancer and it be eradicated at the amen. And I don't see that. And so there's this warm goodness is just half the story. Our pain and our suffering, these trials and these difficulties, they can be the pathway to fulfill what is beyond all that we can ask, think, or imagine. I'm going to say that again. Our pain and our suffering, our trials and our difficulties, they can be the very pathway to fulfill what is beyond all we can ask, think, and imagine. And yet we shy away from our sufferings, right? We want to avoid it. We numb, we self-medicate, we get on Pinterest or Facebook. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to face it. And yet it's often very much the soil, the seeds, and the platform that we need to see our biggest dreams and hopes come true. So my hope is that during our time together, whether you are in rainbows and kittens land or whether you are in loss and grief and pain and hardship, that together we get to encounter a little bit more how high and how deep and how wide and how long is the Lord's love for us. Every year, at the beginning of the year, the Lord gives me a word for what my life will look like in that year. And so last year, 2019, he gave me the word friendship, which, woohoo, that's a warm, butterfly, happy word. That's great. I like friends. But it wasn't necessarily in the friendship of you and I are friends, although it could include that. But he kind of gave me the word, I want you to be a friend of your body. And if you know anything about me, you can know that me and my body have not always been friends. There's all these things I know that I should do. I should eat healthy, I should exercise, I should stretch, I should do all the right things, and I just don't want to do it. And so there's always kind of been this like militant, like someday I'll wrangle myself to do that. And so when God introduced the idea of being a friend to my body, I was like, oh, well, that sounds fun. I could do friendship. Let's do that. Little did I know what looking like a friend to my body was going to entail. So I started out the year, and I had some hormone checks and vitamins and minerals and whatnot, and they were all off and needed some balancing. So got that in order, and as that kind of came into place, then I started realizing, like, oh, I think I might be depressed, which was kind of a mind blower to me because I didn't feel sad, so I didn't really think that you could be depressed if you're not feeling sad, yet other things were lining up with that. So I started getting help with that, and then through some circumstances ended up seeing a therapist who specializes in trauma, and kind of came into this discovery as I'm like starting to listen to my body and hear the story that my body's saying, that there's a lot of pain that I had that I hadn't been dealing with, and found there was a lot of sorrow and difficulty from things that have happened in my childhood. And so I started going through it and facing it and feeling it and crying and grieving. I cried more in 2019 than I have probably my whole life combined. And yet, it was the most fruitful year. It was beyond what I could ask, think, or imagine. When I would use my pain and my sorrow and actually face things, it went beyond what I expected. And I have been more whole and more complete than I ever was before. It was literally like God was bringing all these pieces of me back together. And if we're honest with ourselves, when we think about what's beyond all we can ask, think, or imagine, we kind of think about more stuff. We're like, I want more money, more volunteers, more friends, a better job, a better marriage, a more fit body. We're just kind of thinking about these external things that we want more of. That's what's above all I can ask, think, or imagine, more. And there's nothing inherently wrong with this. I mean, these are all good things, but they're external. They're endpoints. They're static. They are not the vehicle or the avenue that's going to get us to what is beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. They're just things. And if we look closely at this passage that we just read together, it's not saying more stuff. It says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So all that we can ask and think and imagine is tied to more of experience of God's love, which inherently we know. I mean, this is the Christian message. These are all truths that we grow up on, and yet it's so easy to just slip back into, if I could just have a better job, or if I could just have this. We just think about the things. And if we put this another way, all we can ask, think, and imagine is just more of God. Because God is love. And if we have more of him, we have more than enough. It's experiencing God's love that activates our completeness and fullness beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. So let's just get a little philosophical for a moment, because what makes an experience rainbows and kittens and butterflies? Like, what makes it just this thing that we have to have more of? It's really the interpretation of the beholder, right? Because somehow something happened. I liked how it made me feel. I liked what I experienced. And I'm like, I want more of that. But what might be rainbows and kittens and butterflies for me may not be, it might be a nightmare for you. You might, not in my worst dreams do I ever want that. And so it's really subjective. And yet we kind of are chasing after this idea of, I want to live in the land of rainbows and kittens and butterfly. I want everything to be easy and not painful and not hard, and I want it to be good. But we're interpreting things as good or not good that don't necessarily need that interpretation. We have such an opportunity, this incredible opportunity to transform our deepest pain into something that is beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. I ended up getting that. I got so much more when I was a friend of my body than I asked or imagined. And then I wouldn't go back or change a thing despite how painful it's been. So let's think about a few examples of this, because we're kind of in abstract land a little bit. Let's say like great example. This afternoon, my husband and I are driving back from some place, and we got in a fight, which of course, preaching that night, it's always great to get in a fight the day that you're going to be doing that. And so, and we're wrestling and we're struggling, and there's anger. And part of my story is that I didn't feel permission to have my own anger. And so now I have kind of this really immature, childlike anger because I didn't know how to do it well. And so here I am being a little six-year-old being angry that he's telling me to get off my phone. And there's an easy to just, slip it by, be flippant about it, and not use that as soil for growth. It's easy just to be like, I was in a bad mood and I got to preach and I got to go on, then just blow past that. But instead, we're trying to build habits of slowing down and using everything intentionally and realizing, like, okay, what are things that we can do to be more successful in the future? Because I need help expressing my anger well and whatnot. And so we got to dialogue it, and it ended up bringing more connection for us. Or what about financially? If you're in a place that you're just like, man, I just need more money. I can't make ends meet. This is so tight. I can't do it. And if we can slow down and get curious and say, okay, this financial struggle right now, this is an opportunity for me to encounter more of God's love. What is he saying in this? And we can look at it and we might find that, we have a poverty mentality and that there's never enough. It doesn't matter how high my bank account is or how low, it's never enough. And so we can explore that and then find abundance in God regardless of the bottom line. Like this is the ground that we can have victory in. Or relationally, how many people do we have that one person that you're like, oh my gosh, you're just gonna dread being around them, and you're like, I have to like get ready. How often could we, when we just keep doing this pretend cycle, all right, put on a happy face and be fake and be really inauthentic and just get through it, where we could slow down and view that relationship as, okay, this is something that is not going away. This is something that keeps rubbing me. What is going on here? And if we search and lean into that, we might find that, hey, I have really my expectations on myself and on this person, it's not kingdom, it's not healthy. I got to do something about that. And so then we swap it, and then our relationship improves not only with that person, but with everybody that we're in relationship to, because we have better understanding and awareness. So we have all these things. Life is difficult. We have so many resources of difficulty to help us on our way. And this isn't just something that I think that I'm like reading into the text, that I'm putting into the text, we can use our suffering to be more, scripture very much backs this up, and we're going to explore a little bit of that right now. We have in Romans 5, 3 through 4, it says, not only so, but we also have glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. How much do we know that hope is what fuels beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine? Or we have James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Okay, I'll take not lacking anything. I would like that. But it's going to take some trials to get me there. Or James 1:12. If your faith remains strong, even while surrounded by life's difficulties, you will continue to experience the untold blessings of God. True happiness comes as you pass the test with faith and receive the victorious crown of life promised to every lover of God. And there are a whole lot more that we're not going to go read right now. The kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom. You know, the greatest are the last, and the last are first. We have a baby who came to the earth to be a savior of the world. We have the King of Kings who on his second-to-last day of life got down and washed the feet of his betrayers. When you look at the disciples when they're with Jesus, I really like am at one with the disciples when they're with Jesus because they just keep missing it over and over again. Jesus does something amazing, and they're like totally backwards, and he's like, come on, you guys, it's this. And so I can relate to that because I miss it a lot of times. And then Pentecost happens, and suddenly the disciples are like night and day different. They have no fear. Thousands are added to their number daily. You know, they're falling asleep during stonings. They're praising God while they're getting beaten and imprisoned. Let's think about that for a moment. Like, it's not that they are better than us and somehow different. It's not that they love God more or they have more willpower to just be like, be content as you're getting hit with rocks. Like, they're not like mustering that up. It's that the love of God is so full in their life. They are experiencing the love of God so fully that it transforms everything. It transforms every moment. Every suffering, every hardship is joy because of the love of God in their lives. We have that. That's what's available to us. And a lot of times, beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine is continuation of the good work that's happening. If we're praying that prayer, God, I want to see miracles. I want to see all these things. And God's like, great. This situation right now is producing so much strength in you. I'm going to keep you there. Wait, what? Like, oh, wait, I want this. And he's like, right. And that's what's going to get you there. Suffering is not the exception. It's the rule. It is guaranteed. So let's not waste it anymore. And now, hear me out. I'm not saying that God is somebody who just brings suffering to you. All right, let me sprinkle a little dose of suffering so that you can learn. No, life is broken. This world is broken. There is more than enough suffering that is coming our way no matter how well we try to manage it. We're going to get it. And I just see how much God is grieved that he doesn't want his kids to get hurt. And it's like, all right, if you're going to get hurt, man, then we are going to do everything to squeeze every ounce of victory out of this for you. And yet so many of us are like, no, I don't want to feel it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to see it. And so we just push it away and we don't get to grow from it. And he will work it for good, but we could have the good right now if we were to lean in and embrace it. And I just feel like God is saying, oh, my beloved children, I don't want you to have a moment of hurt. So if you're going to be hurt, let's get everything we can from it. So we're going to explore that right now. How do we not waste our suffering? Number one, confess where we are at. We got to have an accurate picture of where we are in this stage, where we are in this thing. Because we have a lot, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of Christianese. I know a lot of the right answers, and I don't always live here. And so this last year has been a year of confession for me where I'm like, oh, I'm not going to muster this up anymore. God, if I don't believe it, I'm just going to say I don't believe it. I know that I should believe it, but I don't, so I'm going to own it. So we could say, God, I am in pain. I do not want to be here. That is honest. A lot of us don't even want to admit we're in pain. We don't even want to admit that something's wrong. No, I'm good. Jesus loves me. Everything's great. I'm fine. I'm good. Or, God, I don't know what to do. Your scripture says that you have answers, and I'm searching scripture, and I still don't know what to do. Just confessing, I do not know what to do. Or, God, I don't know how to be grateful in this situation or how to be content. You say to do that, and this is really peeving me off, and I don't know how to have a good attitude about this, and I'm stuck in grump land. Just own it. Just be honest. Or I do not know how to be patient with that person. They drive me nuts. Lord, I don't know how to be patient. If a caterpillar thinks it's a butterfly, it's going to die. It will jump off something really high to fly away and have no wings and fall. Or it will try to drink nectar, but it doesn't have the straw thing, and it will starve. The caterpillar needs to know where it's at. It needs to know that it's a caterpillar. And if it thinks that it doesn't have to change, it's never going to turn into a butterfly. It has to be honest. So right now, we're going to, although I am running a little late on time. Okay, well, we're going to pause. We're going to pause for a moment and just, there, I'm sure all of us have at least one area where we look a little bit less than Christ in. And we're just going to say, just confess it and say, and just be honest with where we're at with the Lord. And you can write it down on your notes or your paper, and we're just going to take a minute and sit through that. All right. Number two, invite Jesus to meet us. This is where the transformation begins. And so we go, Lord, you know what I need. You have the complete view of this situation. You have all the life and the joy. You have all the love. You have all the strength and power. And you've placed it within me. Show me whatever I've not confessed that is holding me back. Show me any areas in my life that need more of your love that I'm just living out of my head and not my heart. Meet me in this pain. God, you are God with us. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You will be with me. I don't want to be here alone. This hurts. This stinks. Be with me. Work this for my good. I don't want to let this one go by. I don't want to miss out on a victory because I didn't want a deal. Help me trust the process. God, help me not to avoid and numb and get distracted and just push it away. Give me the courage to stay here. And this is where the transformation begins. The caterpillar, contrary to the very hungry caterpillar, does not go into a cocoon. In fact, it becomes a chrysalis. So before the caterpillar metamorphosizes into a butterfly, it morphs into the chrysalis. It turns into a chrysalis first. It becomes the container before it can change on the inside, almost like a coffin. It literally, when you think about it, it turns into a coffin. And it stays there. And it looks a whole lot worse before it gets better for the caterpillar. Before it could move around and it could eat, it could do this. And now it is immobilized. It is unable to defend itself. It cannot be busy and do things and produce and work up all this stuff. It has to trust the process. It has to surrender. It has to die, a metaphorical death. And so then the caterpillar goes inwards, and it lets every single part of itself be transformed. The caterpillar is not expecting, okay, once the trees grow, then I'll be a butterfly. It's not expecting an environmental change to be what changes it into a butterfly. It's not expecting once all these other people turn into butterflies, then I can turn into a butterfly. No, it's owning its own process, and it's saying, only I can do this. And it allows the deep work to be done. On the cellular level, when the caterpillar is in the chrysalis, literally every one of its cells break down and reform into the butterfly. So we're going to take another minute right now, and we're going to ask Jesus to meet us in whatever we've just identified that we don't have enough of him in. We're going to ask him to meet us and to help us stay in this process. All right, lastly, number three, we're going to live into our transformation. Because here's the deal. This is not just a one and done. I'm a butterfly now. I mean, honestly, we kind of have this story in our salvation. We were the caterpillar. Christ saved us, and now we're the butterfly. So we have that spiritually. But that's a repeating cycle. We're saved once. But the process, we have so many areas of our life that need to be transformed, that we're not going to just turn into the butterfly, you know, do this one time, and then all of our problems are solved. No, this is a cycle that we're going to keep going and doing. So when we have pain and suffering come our way the next time, we're going to say, this is not a curse. This is a gift. This is an opportunity. This is a great problem to have. We're going to choose to embrace it and show up like we did the last time. Another great thing is we get to walk with other people. You know, it's really hard to tell somebody how to be a butterfly when you're a caterpillar. But if you're a butterfly, you can really be present. And you can be like, oh, man, I know. Being in the messy cocoon chrysalis state when you're just a pile of goo, it's not fun. I understand. I've been through there. I've done that. It's interesting for butterflies. So they do this whole process. They like turn into this goop. They get reformed into a butterfly, and they're finally ready to be the butterfly, which is amazing. And they're coming out of the chrysalis, and they have this teeny tiny hole, and they're like squeezing through it, and it's agonizing. You would think, great, we're the butterfly, la la. You still have this agonizing squeeze through. And if you were to cut open the chrysalis and just like take the butterfly, like if you knew how to have a, you know, a timer on it, and you're like, ding, it's a butterfly, great, let's not have you go through the hole, let's just cut you out, the butterfly would die, because when they squeeze through the hole, all their fluid in their body gets squeezed up, or not all of it, but some of it gets squeezed up into their wings so that they can then, you know, flutter away. But when, if you were to just cut them open, they would be so bloated in their bodies, and they wouldn't have the squeezing that pushed the fluid up into their wings, and their wings would always stay crumpled, and then eventually they would die because they could never fly. And so even as the butterfly is being born, it has to go through this agonizing tight tension to get the fluid into the wings, and then after it finally makes it out, it's exhausted, and it has to rest. We need Sabbath in our life. As we're doing this process of transformation, we need to rest. And then the butterfly gets to go and spread joy and cheer wherever it goes. It's like, that's the most effective of evangelism, is when you're actually transformed, you're actually changed, you look different. You don't look like a caterpillar, you look like a butterfly. Everywhere you go, people are like, look, there's a butterfly. And so we are going to do another moment where we're going to ask Jesus to give us next steps of how we can live into our butterfly life. And I hear you, even on your connection cards, you can write your next steps for accountability, which is such a cool idea, so that we can be championing each other on. So we're going to do that in a moment. Since the time is a little late, you do that and pass it on, because, you know, maybe life is butterflies after all, and we get to enjoy that whole process no matter how it goes. So I'm going to close this in prayer, and feel free to write that down and share it with somebody so we can encourage one another as we go. So God, I thank you for our time together, Lord. I thank you that you are with us. I thank you that that we can have butterflies and kittens and rainbows, and we can have pain and sorrow, and you will use it all for your glory. You will use it all for your good. I pray that as we go out this week, that you would give us courage to take our next steps, that you would give us courage to go through the process of transformation and face maybe some of the things that we don't want to see and we don't want to feel and we don't want to deal with, but know that you will use it for good, so that we can see beyond all we ask, think, and imagine, and we can know how high and how deep and how wide and how long is your love. In your name we pray. Amen.